Howard, here's a question that comes up frequently in different forms. This is from Helen Duffy, and Helen is a sixth grade teacher in Oakland, California. She writes, "I'm afraid that when my sixth graders see all the overwhelming problems, especially global warming, and how little the adults in charge care to do about them, that they will become discouraged before they have gotten involved themselves. Any advice on that?"
Well, that's really important question because we all know about discouragement, because we all have become discouraged, even me. It's easy to become discouraged because you look around at the world, you look at the wars going on, you look at what's happening to the environment, and you look at how little is being done to stop war, how little is being done to help poor people. You look at the situation in Haiti, and you see how not enough has been done to help the people of Haiti. And you look at all of that, and yes, you become discouraged. The reason I don't stay discouraged is I think about other times in history when people have been very discouraged about a certain social phenomenon, but they didn't just sit and do nothing as a result of their discouragement. They acted even though they weren't sure their actions would bring any results. Even though that they acted and acted and acted and still nothing happened, and it was very easy to give up. But at certain points in history, they did not give up, even though they had been discouraged. And if they didn't give up, if they stayed at what they were doing, if they got together with other people, if they built a movement, then things changed. And there are so many instances in history that where this has happened, and that's where history comes into importance, because if you don't look at history, if you only look at the way the situation is right now, well, you can be very discouraged. But if you go back into history and look at all the other times when people have been discouraged and realize that, well, very often these people, if they did not allow their discouragement to make them passive, to stop them from doing anything, very often they succeeded in doing things that they never thought they would succeed at. Well, you know, I'm thinking of the anti-slavery movement, which in the 1830s in the United States looked hopeless. You had a little group of people who were speaking out against slavery in the 1830s. Some white people, some black people, escaped slaves. They were a tiny movement. In fact, they were opposed not just in the South. They were opposed in the North by the northern whites. However, they continued the anti-slavery movement. They refused to give up. And the movement grew. The movement grew because these people, as small as they were, they stood for certain something, a moral principle, which after a while other people recognized as being absolutely right. Other people soon recognized slavery is wrong. It took 30 years of being discouraged. But the movement grew and grew and grew, and by the time of the 1860s, the movement had become strong enough. It could not be ignored. Lincoln could not ignore it. Congress could not ignore it. And the reason we got an Emancipation Proclamation, the reason we got a 13th and 14th and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, is because that movement had grown large enough to persuade Congress and the President that they must act. So there was discouragement at the beginning. And you can follow this, again, through American history. You know, working people, working 12 hours a day, helpless before employers, corporations that had such power. And how are they going to change their conditions? It's very, very discouraging to working people, discouraging to them until they begin to organize, until they form unions, until they go out on strike. And then they find, oh, that we have a power that we didn't know we had. And so what happens is the labor movement, which was subject to such disappointments for so long, how long did it take to get an eight-hour day? Long, long years of disappointment. But working people persisted, labor unions were organized, strikes took place, and the eight-hour day was won. And unions were recognized, and workers got better conditions. And then you can look more recently at the history of the United States in the 1960s. Look at the civil rights movement in the South. And I lived in the South. You know this, Bill. I taught and lived in the South from 1956 to 1963, 7 years. And talk about being discouraged. It was very easy to be discouraged. If you look around in the South in 1956, 57, the South was totally dominated by racism. Whites controlled everything, all political offices. Segregation was as tight in the American South as it was in South Africa. Very easy to be discouraged. But small numbers of people, black people in the South, began to protest, rebel. There came the sit-ins, the boycotts in Montgomery, the freedom rides, demonstrations. They grew and grew and grew until we had a national movement. And that national movement became powerful enough so that Kennedy had to do something and Johnson had to do something, Congress had to do something, and we began to get voting rights for black people, the end of Southern official segregation. We could go on and talk about other movements, but the point is that movements begin with discouragement. And while right now it's very discouraging to see how little has been done to do something about the environment, people who care about the environment must persist. I do believe more and more people are becoming conscious of what's happening to the planet. Not enough, but those people who are conscious, if they continue to organize and to speak and to educate, that movement is going to grow. And it'll grow to the point where governments, which so far has been so negligent in doing anything about the environment, where governments will finally have to act.
You know, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, she has a saying about the role of journalists is to go where the silences are. And I think that the same thing is true for teachers. And one of the things that you're pointing out is one of the silences in the curriculum is around social movements, and that we really need to expose students to the power of social movements as an antidote to despair, as a way of giving people hope about the possibility of what people can do together.